from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Thank God it's Monday.
You always say that. I never have understood it, and I never will. Thank God it's Monday. I don't understand. What, you have a bad home life or something? Things not going well at the house? You don't have the water bailed out of your basement yet?
I love seeing your face on Monday.
Oh, okay. Well,
because it reminds me of the Beast of Revelation, and I'm so thankful that I'm going to escape the day of indignation through the snatching away of the saints to meet the Lord in the air.
All right, thanks.
I didn't mean any of that.
I know.
I didn't mean it, actually, but in a way I did.
I didn't have to put up with any of that in that week I was here by myself.
I know. I have to catch up. I have a lot of catching up.
I know.
Up to
you have a lot of catching up to do. You're making up for lost time.
What do we talk about today?
We have to talk
this
about.
This is what happens when I go away. The show becomes the Zender Show, and I'm kind of like your sidekick.
Yeah, then it becomes the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show.
Yeah, Martin Zender
Dan
Sheridan Show. Go ahead.
We have to tie up a lot of loose ends and make new ones.
Oh, gosh.
That's right. We have
I
yet
said
to
gush.
I didn't even notice you said gush.
Let's go.
We have yet to define Arminianism, which is the opponent of Calvinism, and we're going to show you how that is.
Okay.
And then, right before your very eyes and ears, we're going to perform a feat that we do not recommend anybody perform at home. We are trained professionals. We are going to take the best parts of Calvinism and the best parts of Arminianism, put them together, and come up with the truth.
Oh, my God. Glad I did my push-ups.
Yeah, this has never before been attempted on Christian radio.
This is like the triple Lindy.
The what?
Never mind. Very few people listening to me will understand what I just said, but they'll get it.
Okay, we were received from the Inglorious Mailbag a letter from Elizabeth. I'm not sure where she lives, but she writes a very intelligent letter, and we've been talking about human free will.
We have an intelligent listener?
They're all intelligent. They wouldn't be listening.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Elizabeth observed, to bring you up to speed here, she observed how astounding it was that people could say that sin is not an issue anymore.
Mm.
Sin's not an issue, but yet they can say it's all taken care of at the cross, all sin taken care of at the cross, and yet in the same breath they can insist that the human has the ability to withstand God. In other words, God offers you salvation, and it's up to you, and God wills all mankind to be saved. What's that verse? That's a verse. God wills
First
all
Timothy.
Mankind to be saved and to come into a realization of the truth. That's God's will, okay?
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy 4:10. You're right. Hey, I pulled that out. You like that?
It's not 1 Timothy
Yes,
4:10.
It is. Is it 2:6? Yes, it is. Sorry.
Verse 2 4, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth.
All right, that's God's will. Very good. That's God's will.
It is God's will.
Now, the human...
Human will stronger, of
will
course.
Has the ability, according to what we're taught, to withstand this.
Yes.
And so we have a battle of the wills. You remember those rock and sock'em robots you used to have? They used to knock your block off and all that?
Love them.
Yeah. The red robot is the will of God. He wants all mankind to be saved. The blue robot is your will. You don't want to be saved.
No.
Get out of here with your stupid salvation.
Yeah, I don't want it.
I don't want it. And it's a battle of the wills, and the human wins.
Yeah.
The human will win.
So God's head pops up on the rock.
God's head pops up on the spring. And God has been defeated because he willed you to be saved, but you willed otherwise.
Yeah.
As if.
Well, here's what they do.
The will of God.
Here's what Calvin does with this. You know what Calvin does with this?
Is it obscene?
I'm going to read you the Calvinist version. This is found in all the commentaries. John Gill, Calvinist, Baptist Calvinist, right? Here's how he would do it in his commentary, and this is going by memory. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all sorts of men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Not all men, all sorts of men.
What the heck? Like what?
All kinds of people.
All kinds of people?
Yeah.
You know, like blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, prostitutes, garbage men, all sorts of people.
That kind of, all sorts of type of people, yeah.
You're adding to the scripture there, or your friend is. That's probably you. You're just saying, my friend says.
No, I didn't. I said that I'm just quoting from
Calvinist
commentary. It's the all never, you know, they always have this thing, all. We say all the time. No, we don't. You know.
Yeah.
But they don't realize there's a context in the scripture. Sometimes all is limited, and sometimes it's not, especially when you have a contrast.
And in this verse, it's not.
It's not limited. You can't limit it here. It's all men, period. There's no way of escaping that.
And so we put up God's will, is what we're doing here. We're putting up God's will against the human will. God wills all mankind to be saved, come to a realization of the truth. Man wills otherwise, and according to the standard teaching, man's will wins. And yet, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy, I think somewhere, the grace of God overwhelms me.
Yes.
Is that is a great verse, that the grace of God overwhelmed him. I will remind our listeners who don't know about this that there was a radical heathen Pharisee back in the first century named Saul who dedicated himself to eradicating the sect known as Christianity, those who believed in Jesus Christ. He was out to kill them. He got permission from Jerusalem to go to Damascus to decimate the way. This new faith that he hated. And on his way there, the Lord Jesus Christ overwhelmed him, as he testifies later, with faith and love. He was no more going to Damascus to become a believer than he was going there, you know, to watch the Patriots versus the Packers. He was going to kill Christians, and the faith, love of God overwhelmed him. And in that same context, are you finding this passage for me?
Yeah. In the same context,
He says that, and I became a pattern of those about to be believing. Read that. That is strong.
Yeah, you're quoting the Concordant version, which probably most of our listeners don't have, and I'll read it from the King James here. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." Notice who he thanks.
Mm-hmm.
"Who hath enabled me." Notice that. Who enabled him?
Christ enabled him.
No, Paul did it himself. It was by his free will. You know that.
Paul chose to believe in Christ.
Right. Who enabled me? "For that he counted me faithful." Now that's counted him faithful. Was Paul faithful?
Not at the time he was called.
He was counted faithful, putting me into the ministry, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor.
Saul speaking of himself
there. And injurious, right? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. That's where it says overwhelms in the Concordant version. "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting," or life aeonian.
Paul was a pattern.
He's a pattern.
Like a cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first. No one had ever seen this amount of grace poured on somebody.
And that Greek word pattern means a sketch, which is to be filled in later.
Say what? I didn't know that.
The Greek word for pattern is a sketch. Let me, by the way, friends, if you listening, you know, marginal notes in a Bible are very important. And I remember doing a Greek study on this word here. When he says pattern here, thanks for giving me enough light in the studio, Zender.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Paul was a
Watch your mouth.
Tuposis, that's the Greek word. A sketch afterward to be filled in. So Paul is the sketch, and who fills it in?
Christ.
We do.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we fill it in. He's the pattern. He's the sketch, and we fill it in. So he's the example.
Well, pattern makes more sense to me to think of it as pattern. I don't know, because, I mean, didn't you say that there that he was called in unbelief? I did it in unbelief.
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing that's supposed to keep millions of people from being with God forever? Unbelief, but right? That's the killer sin.
But here's the thing, though. Paul makes his unbelief the reason God saved him.
Do that again. Go ahead, do that.
He says that's intriguing here, "But I did it ignorant unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So he was an unbelief. "I am chief. Howbeit for this cause." What cause?
So I was just going to ask you.
"For which cause I obtained mercy." Why? Because he was the chief of unbelievers. He was in unbelief, he was the chief. And because he was the chief of those in unbelief, God chose him.
God chose him. In other words,
in unbelief.
Okay, so
his unbelief gave him the title, gave him the right
He was the champ, the champ of unbelief.
Exactly.
So he was, in his own words, the toughest nut for God to crack.
Exactly.
So if we have the Rock'em Sock'em Robots example like we gave,
yeah,
then Paul is the absolute worst case scenario as far as unbelief goes.
Yes.
So we can use this verse to prove that God reaches down into a man and changes him.
Yes.
But that goes totally against the free will teaching. Now listen, free will says that God cannot interfere. I have this sovereign area, this circle around me that I can't be influenced, right?
Yeah.
People say that.
Right.
Free, I should say this, that the damaging phrase in the phrase free will is not the word will, but the word free. We all have wills, but they're not free. Anyway, people think they're free. They have this hedge. If that's true, then God can't influence you because if he does, if he reaches into your little sphere, your little sovereign little circle,
yeah,
and gives you something or changes you in some way, then you are not free. So he overwhelmed. Is that word in there?
Yeah.
Overwhelmed?
Well, it's not the King James, but it is in the Concordant version. Yeah.
What word does the King James use there
it
for
overwhelmed?
It says here,
and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant.
Exceedingly abundant.
Mm-hmm.
More than what? More abundant than what? That's the key question.
More abundant than his unbelief and sin.
That's right. It was.
And
it,
by the way, Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, or overabound.
The moral no,
notice
of the
that.
Story.
Notice that.
Yeah.
Paul says in Romans 5, where sin abounded.
It has to exist first.
Grace overabounded.
So sin has to exist first.
But grace only shines and abounds where sin is.
That's what I mean. So sin has to exist first.
Exactly.
And so it's almost like God was scanning. God is ready to unveil, or our Lord Jesus Christ unveiled his depths of grace that nobody had ever seen before. And
yes.
It's almost like he has a metal detector. He's scanning over the earth.
Beep,
except
beep,
it's not a metal detector. It's an unbelief
beep,
detector.
Beep, beep, beep,
and it gets
beep,
over
beep,
Paul.
Beep,
and it's like...
Beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
Beep. Beep, 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 beep.
And what does it do when it gets over Saul of Tarsus on his way to
Damascus?
There he is. That's the guy, right? Oh, that was scary.
That was a nuclear explosion.
I hope the bass got through on that, because that bass was profound.
I know.
The nuclear explosion of God detecting the worst sinner on the face of the earth. Okay, this is the guy that I'm going to use, because if I can crack, can I say the A word on radio? Duke? Better not. Okay, if he can crack his butt, if God can crack Saul's butt with overwhelming grace, then he can do anybody. He can do anybody. How many times do people put up Hitler for us? Say, well, you mean God's grace can save Hitler? He's a rotten unbeliever. Ah, my friends, our favorite apostle here, Saul, says that he was the chief sinner. He was the chief unbeliever, and God exercised all his patience and all his saving power on this man, and he overwhelmed him with faith. So what problem is unbelief to God? What problem is it? It's not a problem at all. God does this for a living. He just chooses when to do it. He doesn't do it all at the same time. Promise you, we're going to get back to the Arminians. I thought we were going to do it today, but I was wrong. I was wrong again. Once again, I was wrong.
This is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us today. You can find me at crossandthrone.com. Go on there and you can find my Roman studies verse by verse.
You want to hear these shows at your own leisure and dissect them, pull them apart. You can do that at martinsender.com. They're all archived there.
See you guys tomorrow.
Tomorrow.